We'll hear argument now in the case of Thomas Consolidated Industries against the Custer Group.
Good morning, Your Honor. Robert C. Thomas.
Mr. Thomas, when you're called, you can begin. Mr. Thomas.
Yes, Your Honor. I am Robert C. Thomas, and if it pleases the court, I represent Thomas Consolidated Industries, and I would argue to this court this morning that I have a few very basic errors that I believe the trial court committed that require that this grant of summary judgment be reversed. First, I believe that when the trial court...
The first question I have in this case, Mr. Thomas, is whether there was subject matter jurisdiction in the district court. What are the citizenship details?
Custer is a citizen of New York and
What does that mean? Our rule requires the brief to contain, for all corporate entities, the state of incorporation and its principal place of business. Your brief does not provide that information. Custer's brief does not comply with the rule either. Your brief is out of compliance with the rule. Custer was obliged to comply and did not. So I looked at the record. The record does not contain that information. Where can we find the necessary information about citizenship?
I believe the complaint alleges that Custer is a citizen of New York.
Does it allege its state of incorporation and its principal place of business?
Yes, it does.
State you say it does?
Yes, it does.
And where can we find the state of incorporation and principal place of business of Thomas Consolidated Industries?
In that same complaint where it is
also in the
two
complaint.
States. Yes. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I think the basic error that was committed at the trial court level and that mandates that this case be reversed on the issue of summary judgment is when the trial court held that the plaintiff's appraisal witness, Mr. Kaposha, was unqualified to testify, it removes the plaintiff's ability to demonstrate negligence in the Custer appraisal. And I believe that was clearly error based on the cases that we have cited because we established that our machinery appraiser was at 30 years of experience. He bought and sold equipment. He worked, in fact, in the plants where that particular machinery was used, and that he was more than qualified. The trial court appears and so states in its order that it found that he was not a member of any association. But as we have pointed out to the court, that's not required. His background, education, membership, and buying and selling equipment certainly qualifies him.
But then the district court does go on to say, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt, even if he is qualified. This document that he submitted is simply insufficient to raise a material issue fact. There's no analysis, there's no support at all. It's just a bunch of numbers written down in a margin.
It is.
You need something that qualifies as evidence.
Well, that evidence would be developed at trial.
No,
in the courtroom.
Apparently not. It's not the way the summary judgment process works in federal court. You need to present evidence that is essentially the same evidence that you'd be using at trial. It's not that you can't use affidavits if you could put the witness on, but it's got to have that same content.
It does have the content, Your Honor, in that it is a written appraisal report.
There's no foundation at all. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, I could write a bunch of numbers in the margin. You think that would be all right, too?
It's not numbers written in the margin. It's written on the Custer appraisal report, and it puts forth the numbers that this appraiser believes to be correct. It therefore contains virtually the same analysis, and that analysis is always merely a description of the equipment and a number of values. That's all is in any appraisal report. So I believe that it certainly complies if Custer's appraisal comply. Certainly this complies. If there are other issues that should be developed at the hearing on the evidence, I would submit. The real issue is he qualified to give an opinion? And I believe the answer is he certainly is. And I believe that is error and mandates that this case be reversed. Additionally, and there are two other issues, and they both relate to witnesses. Additionally, I believe that Mr. Bocher, who testified that he was expert in appraising machinery and equipment, and he certainly was, except that he didn't do that in this case. He appraised general economic conditions in Asia and Y2K scares, all of which he admitted in his deposition that he was not expert at. Therefore, we've cited the appropriate cases. I believe this mandates reversal because the trial court relied upon his opinion, but his opinion is not competent. He is not expert in the area in which he purportedly expressed an opinion. He's a machinery and appraiser. That's what he is, not an Asian appraiser. And I believe that a very similar competency issue arises as to Mr. Gerard, who time and again throughout his deposition explained that he was not an expert, that he didn't really have any opinions, but he has been manipulated into giving an opinion again on the Asian crisis or the Y2K scare. Again, material that he is not qualified to give an opinion on. He is not even purporting to be an expert witness, so he's clearly in violation of Rule 602 of the Federal Rules of Evidence. And I would submit that incompetent evidence that's been considered, as well as the lack of allowing a qualified appraiser to testify to the, which goes to the very heart of, was the cost of appraisal negligent, incorrect, or wrong, that mandates that this court reverse. That's really all I have.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Leonard.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is John Leonard, and I represent the defendant appellee Koster Group, Inc. in this case. Your Honors, we respectfully submit that the lower court's decision granting summary judgment in this case to the defendant should be affirmed. Nothing that Mr. Thomas has stated either in his brief or in his argument today, I think, affects that position. I would note that.
What do you think the record shows about the state of incorporation and the principal place of business of the parties?
When the complaint was originally filed, Your Honor, and we came into the case somewhat after that, there was an allegation that Koster Group was incorporated and was had its principal place of business in a state other than Illinois. It does have its principal place of business in New York. Therefore, we did not challenge a diversity of citizenship.
It's not a question of challenging. It's a question of establishing. In fact, the reason your brief is out of compliance with the rule is that it just says, well, we don't contest jurisdiction. The rule is quite explicit that it is the obligation of the appellee to review the jurisdictional statement and determine whether it is complete and correct. And that means putting down the principal place of business and the state of incorporation. Now, we now have the complaint, and it says somewhat ambiguously, on information and belief, Koster is a New York corporation. Whatever that might mean, does it mean Koster is incorporated in the state of New York?
My understanding is
did you file an answer with the jurisdictional details?
I don't recall in the answer. We didn't challenge it. I can state that to the court.
And challenge is just doesn't cut the mustard.
No, I certainly apologize to the court for the deficiency in the appellee's brief if that was the information that should have been included and was not.
Perhaps it would be useful if the parties were to file supplemental pleadings under 28 U.S.C. 1653, expressly stating for the all the parties to the case what each party's state of incorporation is and its principal place of business. But just saying is a New York corporation doesn't you know, it's ambiguous whether somebody thinks something is a New York corporation or whether it really is incorporated in New York.
I understand.
Another thing the complaint says for one of the corporations is has its offices in. Well, that may or may not be the principal place of business. Probably is. One really has to allege the details.
Well, we can state with certainty that Koster's principal place of business is not in the state of Illinois.
That's not what we need to know.
I understand.
We need to know where it is. We don't want to hear the lawyer's beliefs about the legal significance of the facts. We want to hear the facts.
I understand that we would certainly be prepared to provide whatever information under 28 U.S.C. 1653 or otherwise the court might request in that regard.
Parties will have 7 days to amend the pleadings under 28 U.S.C. 1653 to put in them proper allegations of subject matter jurisdiction.
That's fine, Your Honor. I would assume that the plaintiff would be required to amend first if the plaintiff is proceeding.
7 days, both sides.
Okay. I understand.
Well, just to clarify, amending the plea, I think just the letter is appropriate.
It's a fact. I'm inclined to think that amending the pleadings in the way prescribed by statute is preferable.
Well, that's fine, sir. We would certainly do that. If I may proceed with the to respond to some of Mr. Thomas's points, very quickly, Your Honors, I realize the time is limited. If Your Honors would review Mr. Capocha's resume attached to his report, this clearly indicates that he has absolutely no experience as an appraiser. His expertise lies in the construction industry. He's working in the concrete industry at the present time. And he was at the when he worked for one of the subject companies here, he was a mold maker in the tool and die shops. He has no certification as an appraiser, and there's nothing even in his resume that indicated that he had any expertise in buying and selling used machinery or equipment of the type that's at issue in this case. So I think that applying the abuse of discretion standard to Judge Gettleman's decision to either discount his report in its entirety or consider it for what it was worth, I think that there's no basis for attributing any error there in that decision. The judge was well within his discretion in discounting that based on Mr. Capocha's lack of qualifications alone. I might add that the only, quote, appraisal, Mr. Thomas referred to Mr. Capocha as an appraiser. He actually used that word in the argument, which he is not. And he refers to his report as an appraisal, which it is not. All he did was take the Koster appraisal, scratched out the numbers, and wrote his own numbers in next to them. And I would emphasize this was done 5.5 years after the fact, with the full benefit of hindsight, knowing exactly what the price was realized at the auction sale for this machinery and equipment, and now 5 years after the auction, knowing exactly what price was realized, Mr. Capocha comes in and just writes down a bunch of numbers that, to no one's surprise, come pretty close to what the realized value of the auction was. The issue of the case, Your Honors, is whether the appraiser, Koster, was guilty of negligent misrepresentation, and whether there was an explanation in the disparity of the prices which the appraisal originally came in at and which they realized at auction 2.5 years later, in view of the fact that there was limiting and qualifying conditions in the appraisal stating that the appraiser was not responsible for things such as change of market conditions. Neither Mr. Boscher nor Mr. Garrod testified. What Mr. Boscher said with respect to the Asian crisis was, I'm not an expert on the causes of the Asian financial crisis. But he certainly was an expert with respect to their effects in the used machinery and equipment market in the United States. The evidence is overwhelming. It's totally uncontradicted in this case that there was a drastic collapse in the 2.5 years between the date of the appraisals and the actual holding of the auction in the price and in the market of the sale of used machinery and equipment of this type in the United States. Largely due to the Asian financial crisis, this is a conclusion that both Mr. Garrard, who is the vice president of the financing company here, by the way, if anyone questions his expertise, and Mr. Boscher arrived at independently. Mr. Thomas has presented no contrary evidence to the court or to the lower court that either of these gentlemen were incorrect. They attributed a number of other factors also, including the poorly conducted auction, and this was echoing what Mr. Thomas had alleged earlier in his complaint, where he criticized the auction, said that the equipment was dirty and it was not well prepared. They used a foreign auction firm from California, where they probably should have used an Illinois firm.
I'm inclined to think of California as a foreign nation, but that's probably not the normal understanding.
Right. There were a litany of problems with the auction that Mr. Thomas had originally alleged and that both Mr. Garrard and Mr. Boscher confirmed. I would just emphasize that Mr. Garrard's testimony is extremely credible because he's a truly disinterested witness. He was the former vice president of the Foothill Financing Company that financed this.
We don't need credibility at the summary judgment stage. What we need is, let's say, a lack of a genuine issue of fact that would contradict what he said.
Right. I agree with that, Your Honor, and there is no contradiction. There is no issue of fact here because none of this testimony from either Mr. Garrard or Mr. Boscher has been contradicted by the defendant. The Capozzi appraisal certainly does not contradict those statements as to the cause of the collapse of the market for used machinery and equipment. And that concludes my argument.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Lennon.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Thomas?
The supposed Asian crisis collapse is a defense, an affirmative defense, that has not been competently established by a witness who could appraise or understand the Asian crisis. That's one of our issues on appeal here. Mr. Boscher was a machinery and equipment salesman and appraiser and probably a very good one, but he also admitted he did not understand either the effect or the causes of the Asian crisis. The other issue I would point out to the court is if you look at Mr. Kaposha's qualifications, he is certainly qualified to give an opinion of value. Being certified is not a requirement. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.